Harford, White, Ramanaskis. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Time to turn our attention now to the world of AFL football. And next Thursday night at Hindmarsh Stadium, AFL X kicks off in Adelaide, of course, at Hindmarsh. And Port Adelaide are a part of the six teams in action that night, with the Cats, the Crows, the Pies, the Dockers and the Eagles. And I reckon Hamish Hartlett might be looking forward to seeing what unfolds. I'm not sure if he's going to play, but we can ask him because he's on the line, the Port Adelaide Power player. G'day, Hamish.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Going very well. Thank you very much. Are you involved next Thursday, or is it for somebody else?
No, I think they'll predominantly just roll out some of the younger kids, some of the boys that can move across the ground a little bit quicker than what I can. But you will see a couple of experienced guys out there. I think Robbie Gray and Jack Watts, which will be really exciting for our Port Adelaide fans. They'll be out there playing as well because they miss out on the internal trial game that we've got this weekend, unfortunately. But those boys will be running around too.
Well, so Port Adelaide fans will love to see that. The concept of the whole AFLX thing, it's obviously a part of a pre-season program for all the clubs. Do you think it's a good thing to change up the format of footy leading into the AFL season, or is it a little bit of an inconvenience?
I think overall it'd be really good and something that's really exciting to the fans in particular to see. I don't think it'd be too much of a disruption for most fans, and we've done a little bit of that type of training at during the pre-season so far, and I think only doing it for 1 or 2 days of the year won't be too much of a disruption, and then we get into playing some normal JLT games after that, and I'm sure most clubs will probably have 1 or 2 internal trials amongst themselves as well, so won't be too much of a disruption, I shouldn't think, and something that's going to be pretty exciting for certainly fans to go and watch.
Hamish, I'm interested in the dynamic at Port Adelaide this pre-season. Obviously, a number of changes to the list with players leaving and players coming in, and some good players coming in, obviously, to the squad. Are you guys starting to feel the squeeze now for positions that games are starting to ramp up?
Yeah, no doubt. I know, certainly across the half-back line, which is where I'm likely to suit up again this year, there's a big squeeze on for spots. We unearthed a couple of younger guys last year, Dan Houston and Riley Bonner, that played some exceptional footy throughout the season, and particularly towards the back end of the year. And obviously, Jasper and Darcy Byrne-Jones and Matty Broadbent, and these types of guys are all rolling through those spots as well. And then, you introduce guys like Jack Watts and Tommy Rockliffe and Stevie Motlop in amongst the mix as well. And certainly the spots get pretty tight, so it's going to be a very interesting time at selection come round one. We've got generally a pretty healthy list at the moment as well, so boys are going to have to put their best foot forward over the next month to ensure that their position is secured come round one.
We were talking earlier in our show, Hamish, today about those three names you mentioned, Rockliffe, Watts and Motlop. They're three genuine stars when they're at their absolute best. How different is the dynamic of just the change rooms, just training, having three players of that kind of quality coming into your team?
Yeah, I suppose the biggest difference that we've noticed is the mature heads that they've got on them, especially Tommy Rockliffe and Jack Watts, who are a bit more sort of outspoken, I suppose, than someone like Steve, although Steve is a very knowledgeable guy. He's been around the game for a long time and he's got a lot to provide for us in that area. But they're just very mature. They're very cool and calm types of guys. And then you add their quality on the field in terms of what they can do with the ball as well. And it's a really great mix. So they've certainly contributed pretty significantly to our group already in the short period of time they've been here, on and off the field. And they're great acquisitions for our club, I think, and from what we've seen so far.
Obviously, with the disappointment of the elimination final loss with the kick after the siren in overtime to Luke Shuey, what have been the slight tweaks that you've made to your game plan through this pre-season? Obviously, you were a very exciting team last year, but is there any noticeable tweaks that we'll be looking for in the early JLT games?
Oh, look, I think the thing we've been working on first and foremost, has been our connection from our midfield to our forward line. I think there were a lot of games last year that we felt like we dominated, you know, time in forward half, time in possession, inside 50s and shots on goal, those types of things. The really key stats of the game, we felt like there were lots of games that we had control over but didn't capitalise, and probably lost a couple of games that we shouldn't have in that respect. So, yeah, certainly the connection between a midfield and forward line is something that we focus on pretty heavily in this pre-season. Again, our defence, we feel like, has improved as well. And, you know, last year was the first year that we had implemented a specific type of game plan for our club. And, you know, the more you train that type of game plan, the better that you get. So hopefully we can see improvement in all areas of our game, but particularly that the connection between our mid and forwards.
We talked to Ben Hunt yesterday about the Crows and the disappointment of the grand final loss and how they played in that game and whether it had driven them through the pre-season. From your point of view, Rama touched on it before about losing that elimination final in such extraordinary circumstances. Has it given an extra sting in the tail for you personally and for the team, or do you have to sort of block it out and move forward and not think about it too much?
Look, I think, you know, it's left a pretty sour taste in the mouth of most of our guys. You certainly can't keep reflecting back on those types of moments and use them as motivation too much. I mean, they've probably got a certain use by date on them that you get a bit of a kick out of. But you know, that's an area of the game, the defensive stoppages that we think we're pretty good at. But obviously, we need some tightening up on. So I know every time there is a back stoppage in our defensive 50, that there'll be a particular call that is called out that'll remind guys of that particular moment, and hopefully everyone will be able to play their role and stop those types of things from happening again.
Very interesting. No, I like it.
It won't take too much to figure out what the call might be. I reckon if I gave you 5 guesses, you might get it.
Hey, can I just to sort of go on that a little bit further? When you went back and looked at the extra time or the last few minutes of regular time, did you do that in the immediate aftermath, or was it something that Kenny said, "Look, go away. We're gonna worry about that when you all come back in November"? And how much time did you spend on it?
No, we didn't look at it immediately after the game. As you can imagine, the boys were pretty distraught about how everything unfolded. I might have just say, I get asked about that game a fair bit, and you know, it was a phenomenal game to be a part of. Like, I reflect on that game, and as heartbreaking as it was absolutely incredible to be a part of. But we did watch that vision a couple of days later after the game, and reflected on who was doing things well and who wasn't, and who was really desperate to try and stop that goal. These types of things. So that was a pretty tough sort of meeting to sit in on, but boys learned their lessons, I think, and you know, I doubt you'll see a similar result happen again in those types of circumstances.
We've had a number of the boys on over the summer talking about their pre-season. What's the one area this pre-season that you've worked on, Hamish?
Oh, for me personally, yeah, I made the shift back to halfback at the start of last pre-season, so a really fresh role for me. And you know, the defensive positioning is something that I'll continue to work on, and winning my one-on-one battles. I think naturally I sort of read the ball pretty well. I can intercept the ball pretty well as well, but the real defensive one-on-one type stuff is an area of the game that I'll continue to work on for the next few months leading into the season and throughout the year as well, I'm sure.
There's no better way to get over a finals loss and a switch to half-back than to start commentating cricket, Hamish. that seems to be what you're doing today for the Sheffield Shield, am I right, between South Australia and Victoria? Are you doing some commentary?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in the top box and help out with the live stream there. So I did a session a couple of years ago, and I really enjoyed it. I'm a bit of a cricket nuffy. I know a fair bit of cricket, and I follow it pretty strongly, even the local boys. So, yeah, jumping the Combox this afternoon from 1 to 5 or 6, I think. So, for any of you Victorian listeners out there that might tune in, you might hear a familiar voice on there. So let me know how I go. Anyway, I'd like to see that.
Well, I will be watching because I love watching the Shield cricket. I mean, just the timing of it, though, to be in there commentating Victoria probably about 3 for 380 by the end of the play. I mean, that's I've probably picked the wrong day.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. I thought our boys, dug deep yesterday. We were in all sorts of stripes early. Really, really impressed by the young guy on debut, Tony Nielsen, and probably slightly got our noses in front at the moment, but we'd like to keep you out in the field for another 3 or 4 hours today because she's already about 32 or 33 degrees over here at the moment. It's really a scorcher. We won't see how it all unfolds, but Teddy says with a new rock, whoa. Look out.
The Duke's ball, the swing of the Duke's with Chad Sayers.
We are getting information in that Flem is going to be part of our show next week, as he always is, and he's going to put Hamish under the wicket of truth based on
like
the cricket commentary as opposed to the football.
I like it.
That's incredibly exciting. Yes, Pete did mention that just as a part of your show, and I thought I might have a bit of a yarn on today, but we'll have to hold off for another time. He'll have to, show me the ropes.
I'm sure he'd be happy to sit down and run you a few things, except for his stupid sayings. But outside of that, I'm sure you'd do a hell of a job. Good luck with that today, and good luck for 2018, Hamish. Nice to chat.
Thanks, boys.